glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday. I'm your host, Donna Leland. And today we spend time with my friend, John Walsh. You know and love him as a Bible teacher that we've enjoyed here on Great News Media. Thanks for joining us, John.
Donna, it's always a thrill to be with you.
People recognize your voice and understand your heart is for telling the Bible the good news of Jesus. You know, maybe it's been a while since we've had you on and go over, how did you start in this ministry?
Years ago, I was curious. It's kind of funny. I was just curious about, you know, how many stories are in the Bible. You know, I'd heard that 75% of the Bible is story, but I wondered how many. And so I set out just to identify them all, and I found out there's about 400 to 500, according to how you define a story. And so I kind of just kept going. The next thing I did, I put them all in chronological order. And anytime their story was repeated more than once, I would blend them together. There's some very, very, very small stories and some that are very large. And so I adjusted those where the very small ones, I put several together. Anyway, I ended up with 263 stories of what I call stories. They're all there, but they're grouped together in this right here. And so, and it just kind of progressed. I took them out of the written format and put them into a talking format. Those are different rules for that. Well, the funny thing about it is I decided to do a video podcast back when that was, most people weren't doing that. That was way, you know, most podcasts were audio. And I decided to do video, and I was the cameraman, the talent, the editor. I did everything but actually post the podcast, and had all of 12 people watch the thing. But it didn't matter. I was just enthused about doing it, and I just kept doing it, kept doing it. The numbers kept growing, and then out of that grew Bible telling. I never dreamed back when I first started that journey, which, by the way, took me about 9 years to do all that I just said, that a whole ministry would form and people would be using Bible telling in foreign countries on mission fields. It's now being translated into many other languages. It was used in prisons. It's being used to teach people to read and to English as a second language. I mean, the list just goes on of how it's being used. And back in the beginning, I never had a vision for any of that.
Boy, but God certainly did, because he loves his word. And there you were, honoring him by sharing these great stories. When John talks about the Bible telling, this is all on his website, and you've offered so much of this absolutely for free, John.
You know, what was kind of interesting is that when I was putting together all the stories, that 9-year journey, I put the whole thing together, and I decided I was going to get it published. And I made up, I have other books, and I knew how to go about it. I was getting up my proposals and getting ready to send them all out to different publishing houses when God says, I want you to give it away free. I thought, Lord, 9 years, and you want me to give this away free? And people were saying, you know, no one has ever done that before. I have actually, put them all together that way. And yet he really worked on my heart to say, this is what I want you to do. I have taken care of you. I will continue to take care of you. And now I want you to give this away free. And so it was a hard pill to swallow. And I finally had to put it out there and announce the fact that it's free online. So for all your listeners, they just go to BibleTelling.org and look for download. I mean, go there, and there you'll see all the stories of the Bible. It's a free download.
You were sharing, John, how your wife loves to just kind of put it on repeat, and while she's doing her little morning fluffing up, and she just gets Bible story after Bible story.
Yeah, she's been doing this for years. She's just been when she gets ready in the morning. It's funny. I walk past the bathroom, and I and I hear myself talking in there, you know, telling some story, and she'll just go from one to the next. And, you know, there are people have told me that they enjoy when they're driving along in the car, just to let it play.
Be great for parents if they just want something on maybe a long car ride or right before the children go to bed. Go to BibleTelling.org, and you can just have one beautiful Bible story after another with John's comforting and soothing voice. Well, I was looking at your website, John, and just kind of poking around, and I stumbled on this poetry project page. And tell us about that.
We have another website called BT Stories. That BT as in Bible telling, BT Stories. And that's just meant to be a tool that churches can just use and without us doing any advertising on it. And there is a list of all the stories, and it has it has me telling the story, a film of me telling the story, and then a film of me doing the cultural insights behind the story. By the way, that's a part of that whole project. And then there's a map of where it's located, and just various tools. But we've also started putting other things. If a person has a poem about that particular story, then they can write the poem and send it into our information email, and Roger will take a look at it. And if it's not spam or something like that, he can, and then he will post it on next to that story. And also, if they have a 3-minute drama that would relate to that story. Later on, we're going to be adding more things to that. Personal testimonies and history stories. But right now, it's been kind of fun to see some of the poetry that has been written about individual stories.
Came across this one of the poems on your website. It's called Storm of Galilee. This goes along with story 194, Calming Two Seas. It says, "What I love about storms is the power of the crashing waves. What I hate about waves is the fear in me that swamped the boat. What I love about the boat is seeing my Lord and Savior sleeping. What I hate about my Savior sleeping is that I feared he would not save me from death. What I love about death is that it has no victory over me. What I hate about me is that moment when I give in to doubt. What I love about doubt is that it is the beginning of my wisdom. What I hate about wisdom is that the path to it is filled with storms and turmoil. What I love about turmoil is the strength and confidence I gain battling those storms. What I hate about storms is the crashing power of the waves." What a neat story.
Thank you for reading that.
So you're going to be wanting to do a little bit more connection with your readers, and again, if they are inspired by a particular story that you have shared, then you want to craft, they can craft a poem for you. They can craft a testimony about how that impacted them. Maybe tell you how that story has been used in, their everyday life. And I just love the idea that you're so open to having some feedback.
Oh, very much so. We really want to encourage people that as they listen to the stories, as they watch the films, as they get the insights, a lot of people have told me how the insights has really helped them. They use that in their morning devotions. They will listen to the story, they will watch the insights, and then they'll open up the scriptures and they'll read the story, and all of that just reinforces the Word of God in their life.
Well, I have to put you on the spot, John, and I cannot have you on here without you telling us a story. What one would you like to share with us today?
Well, you see, I was, I knew you'd probably ask that, and I was going to do my normal thing where I just ask you which one you want to hear, but you know, as we are, just this last Sunday, I was asked by a church to tell the Passover story. And so I told the stories that surrounded the Passover, and we ended with the them leaving the Last Supper, going to the Garden of Gethsemane. But I was thinking that for this occasion, you might want to hear about the crucifixion story or the resurrection story, or maybe both. Would that be fine?
Sounds wonderful. Whatever you choose.
Pilate turned Jesus over to his soldiers so that Jesus would be crucified. The soldiers grabbed him and they made a crown of thorns and they pushed it down on his head and they mocked him and beat him and said, "Look, the King of the Jews." And they spit on him. Afterwards, they took him to be crucified. Along the way, they grabbed a man to help him carry the cross. They took him out to the place called the Skull, along with two criminals. They were nailed onto crosses and lifted up. Pilate had made a sign that would go on the cross of Jesus, which would simply say, "The King of the Jews." The religious leader said, don't put "King of the Jews." He said, "What I have written, I have written." So the crosses were put into place. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. Jesus then cried out, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Some of the people standing around said, "If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross." The religious leader said, "Oh, he can save others, but he can't save himself." Soldiers gathered at the foot of the cross and divided up his clothes among them. His robe was without a seam, and so they threw dice to determine who would get it. Jesus looked off to the side, and there he saw his mother, along with John, one of his disciples. And he said, "Mother, look to John as your son. John, take care of my mother." Jesus hung there for 3 hours, and finally at noon, a darkness, a blackness, covered that part of the earth, and it lasted for 3 hours. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus rose up and said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In time, he realized that it has been accomplished, and so he said, "I'm thirsty." Some soldiers had some sour wine there, and one of them took a sponge and dipped it in there and put it on a staff and rose it up to his mouth. As soon as he had tasted it, he rose up and he cried, "It's finished!" And he slumped down and died. At that point, the earth shook. Huge boulders cracked in half. And the veil of the temple split from the top to the bottom. The soldiers around the cross were afraid. And finally one said, "It's true. It's true. This was the Son of God." A little bit later, some other soldiers came to break the legs of the men on the cross so they would die before Passover would start at 6 o'clock. They went to the first criminal and broke his legs, and then they went to the other criminal and broke his legs. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. To make sure, one of them grabbed a spear and pushed it up into his heart. Afterwards, a wealthy man by the name of Joseph went to Pilate and asked permission if he could take the body of Jesus and bury it. Religious leaders also talked to Pilate and said, this deceiver said that after he died that he would raise from the dead after 3 days. We're afraid that his disciples will come and steal the body and then tell everyone that he's risen from the dead. So Pilate agreed to put a Roman seal on the tomb and place guards to watch over it. So Joseph and his good friend Nicodemus took the body down from the cross, wrapped it in strips of cloth, and then Joseph buried it in his own tomb. Then a big stone was rolled across the entrance. Then a Roman seal was put on the stone, and two guards stood there, guarding the body of Jesus.
Thank you so much, John. It just, you know, you can just see it. It brings to life the beautiful Bible text. Now, you've been to some of these places, haven't you? You've taken people on tours with you over to the Holy Land and elsewhere. Tell us about some tours that you've got coming up.
Well, you know, Israel has been kind of closed to us. First of all, there was COVID, and after COVID, we actually took a tour over there, and then things, kind of closed down again with the war. But we're looking next April, a year from now, that we'll be going back with the group, actually my home church. I have actually turned over these tours to other people that I've trained others to do what I normally do. But my home church has asked me if I would once again lead this tour. So I have agreed to do that. So that, as I say, that's about a year from now. This coming October, though, we have a trip of the Apostle Paul going to Turkey, Greece, and Rome. And so that's October 6th through the 17th, with an extension to Rome on the 17th till the 20th. So it's just nice to be able to do these tours once again. If I might mention, these tours are like a little bit of a step up from a normal Israel tour. It's more of a seminar. Matter of fact, we call them a Israel seminar as opposed to a tour.
So again, give everyone your details, John, because maybe you've piqued their interest and they want to go spend some time digging around all of this beautiful material you've made available.
Yeah, if they go to the website, BibleTelling.org, and that little strip across the top, they'll see one talk about traveling or Israel trips or Holy Land trips, and they'll see one that was the April one. I believe it's the 17th. Until the 17th or 18th, until May 1st. And there's an extension into Jordan that will go just a few more days until the 4th. The Apostle Paul trip is October 6th through the 17th with an extension to Rome that goes until the 20th.
And all of this is on your website, and they can find it at BibleTelling.org. We've been enjoying the familiar voice of John Walsh. He is our Bible-telling friend here at Great News Media. Thanks again, John, for spending time with us.
Yes, I've enjoyed it, Donna. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Was it a morning? When the sun still hid Jerusalem, and Mary rose from her bed to tempt the Lord she thought was dead. Was it a morning like this when Mary walked down from Jerusalem and two angels stood at the tomb? Did the earth rejoice to feel you again? Over and over, like a trumpet underground, did the earth seem to pound, he is risen. Over and over, in a never-ending round, he is risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Was it
Thanks for listening to Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media. And thank you, dear listener, for understanding we are a listener-supported Christian ministry. Everything you hear over this station is because of the grace of God and the grace of your giving. Consider giving a gift to keep this radio station going and growing strong. The Lord is doing amazing things. He sees the faithfulness of Great News Media, and He's adding to it. Reminds me of that Bible verse, "He who is faithful in little will be faithful in much." So again, thank you so much for being a part of the partnership here at Great News Media. Now, if you love any of the Mark and Friend program and you'd like to hear it again, it's always available in an MP3 format, easy to download. Just go to this radio station's website, click on Mark and Friends, and you'll see all the past programs sitting there ready for you to enjoy. Maybe you heard a program and you'd like to share it with someone else. Just give them that link, and they can hear Mark and Friends anytime they want. Thanks again for being a part of the ministry. We're Mark and Friends with Great News Media.